A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And his commandment is this: we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Those who keep his commandments remain in him, and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit whom he gave us. Beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ come in the flesh belongs to God, and every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus does not belong to God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who, as you heard, is to come, but in fact is already in the world. You belong to God, children, and you have conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They belong to the world. Accordingly, their teaching belongs to the world, and the world listens to them. We belong to God, and anyone who knows God listens to us, while anyone who does not belong to God refuses to hear us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deceit. The word of the Lord. I will give you all the nations for an inheritance.
I will give you all the nations for an inheritance.
The Lord said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession."
I will give you all the nations for an inheritance.
And now, O kings, give heed. Take warning, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice before him. With trembling rejoice.
I will give you all the nations for your
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain, those who were possessed, lunatics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is exactly what John the Baptist proclaimed, and now our Lord proclaims this as, in a certain sense, his first words. We have the words to his parents in the temple in Jerusalem at 12 years old, but as he begins his ministry, after John had entered into his passion, this handing over just as our Lord is, or arrested just as our Lord will later be arrested, he proclaims metanoia. So these first words of the public ministry of Jesus are alerting that the kingdom of heaven and repentance paradoxically go together, that Jesus reveals himself as a light shining in the darkness of the world, that he is the Savior come to forgive sin and to bring in person the kingdom of heaven. Every time we pray our Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, we pray that the reign of God would be made manifest. Our Father who art in heaven, may your name be held holy. May your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And for us, frail sinners, that what is necessary first and continually is an act of repentance, of turning our eyes, our heart, to God. And heaven is a place, or the realm of God, which is no longer far off, but in Jesus is near. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's clear that Capernaum had become the home of Jesus. And in relation to this quote, and also Matthew referring to it from Isaiah, our Lord had moved from Nazareth, which was actually the territory of Zebulun, to the land of Naphtali along the northwestern territory of the Sea of Galilee. And this became the region of his most active ministry outside Jerusalem, in a place of much travel, and many roads went through there for pilgrim roads and travel trading roads. And this is how you end up, in a certain sense, with Matthew, the tax collector, right in that area, because it's a great place to collect taxes, where lots of trade is being done, and even the fishing in the Roman world, the fishing was taxed. So you could be taxed. He could have been taxing Peter and Andrew, James and John, who probably knew him well from being right there in Bethsaida in Capernaum and doing their trade. And this may be why, just joking, but maybe why they never come up with fish, you know, so they avoid taxes. No. Anyways. So while in the prologue of John, it's clear that Jesus is the light of the world, and something he will proclaim explicitly only later, as he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me does not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In Matthew, much of the light comes from his teaching. So the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. Shortly, Jesus will ascend the mountain and proclaim the Beatitudes. and say to his listeners, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good work, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven." And one of these towns would have been a Gentile town of Tiberias, would have been right there next to them. They would have seen it there and across the lake, seen other towns of the Decapolis, so the Galilee of the Gentiles. So having made his home in Capernaum, a sizable city on the northwest side of the Lake of Galilee, Jesus begins to call the disciples, whom he will call apostles. Peter and Andrew, James and John, were all familiar with the teaching of John the Baptist, that the Baptist, before he was captured for the message of repentance, pointed out the one who is to come, that is Jesus, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Peter, Andrew, James, and John would have picked up on the continuity that Jesus, who also preaches repentance, but who is greater? In Christ, the promises find fulfillment, that Jesus, that his very presence brings with it the power and the reign of God. Heaven's light breaks in. And they only discover this truth by following Jesus, by being with him, and by listening to him. And if we are not with him, then the preaching of repentance is too oppressive. Apart from Jesus, apart from his gaze of love, we cannot stand it. So seeing the lame healed, then we continue, and the lectionary skips verses 18 to 22. But seeing the lame healed, the blind regaining their sight, this confirms the word of Jesus, that the gospel of the kingdom is not just good news, it is in fact tangible and touchable. And this is the reason to celebrate, to be joyful in the Lord, as Isaiah says chapter 9, verses 3 to 4. So this other verse, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but continuing from that in the book of Isaiah. "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian." And Midian, that crisis was with Moses, who tried to... who was a shepherd there and tried to gain his wife there. And then also later on, there's with Balaam and the donkey. Anyway, so the kingdom of heaven is present with Jesus. His joy and light unburdens those who have been weary and heavy laden. He gives them rest from that which oppresses him. In this freedom, the disciples of Jesus, become the light of the world, filled with joy. And tears are of true repentance, real, authentic repentance, are ultimately tears of love and of joy, of being loved by the one who we find to be meek and humble of heart.